Hello and welcome to day number 59 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It's so good to have you here with us today. Each of you who have been joining us for many days, or maybe you're joining us for the first time today, either way, we are happy that you're here, and there's no better time than now to build this holy habit of finding God in God's Word. Well, today we will be reading from Judges chapters 3 through 6, Psalm number 59, and Proverb number 28. By way of this podcast, I will be reading from Judges chapter 4 from the World English Bible. That's the web translation, but you can use whatever translation you want. And be sure to read those other chapters as well so that we can continue to get through the Bible together in the course of this year. If you're enjoying the Bible in a Year reading plan, I ask you to click like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice, as that does help us get seen in search results. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And friends, now, without further ado, let us jump into God's Word together. Judges chapter 4. The children of Israel again did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight. When Ehud was dead, Yahweh sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth of the Gentiles. The children of Israel cried to Yahweh, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, judged Israel at that time. She lived under Deborah's palm tree between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Hasn't Yahweh, the God of Israel, commanded, go and lead the way to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun? I will draw to you to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go." She said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the journey that you take won't be for your honor, for Yahweh will sell Sisera into a woman's hand." Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the Kenites, even from the children of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and had pitched his tent as far as the oak in Zanim, which is by Kadesh. They told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles to the river Kishon. Deborah said to Barak, "Go, for this is the day in which Yahweh has delivered Sisera into your hand. Hasn't Yahweh gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Yahweh confused Sisera, all his chariots, and all his army, with the edge of the sword before Barak. Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. There was not a man left. However, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, don't be afraid." He came in to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. He said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." She opened a container of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. He said to her, "Stand in the tent door, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and struck the pin into his temples, and it pierced through into the ground, for he was in a deep sleep. So he fainted and died. Behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, Come, and I will show you the man whom you seek. He came to her, and behold, Sisera lay dead, and the tent peg was in his temples. So God subdued Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel on that day. The hand of the children of Israel prevailed more and more against Jabin the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin king of Canaan. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day, and we pray that you would be with us. Send forth your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to gain understanding from these words. Also, show us the areas in our hearts that we have failed to yield over to you, that we might be released from the bondage of sin, so that we might follow you more closely each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Judges chapter 3, we see Ehud being stirred up to go to King Eglon of the Moabites. And this Ehud does something rather peculiar. He fashions a sword, which God didn't ask him to do, and he says that I've got a message from God. He gets to the king, essentially gets everyone to get out of the room, and he takes out his little sword, stabs the king, and that so far in that the blade and even the handle go in, and it says that basically excrement came out the back side. And what we are left with is a very messy scene of a person who was just killed with the message of God and is now lying in a pool of his own blood and feces. This scene is an interesting one in that it points to the fact that God's salvation is going to be messy, and that God wouldn't do to someone what he wasn't willing to do to himself. We know that Jesus, during his passion, was beaten to the point of death. He was forced to carry his own cross, and he was crucified with nails through his hands and his feet. He was scourged and ultimately died a very humiliating death so that we might have forgiveness of sins. Similarly, in chapter 4, we meet Deborah, who is a judge, and her counterpart, Barak, who is the leader of the army. Deborah says, Hasn't God handed over these people to you? Go up against them, bring the army, and God will take care of everything for you. But Barak has a lapse of faith and says, you know what, I'm not going to do that on my own. I'm going to need you to come with me because you're the judge. You're the one who God has anointed and given all this power. I need you to be with me. And Deborah agrees, but she says, because of your lack of faith, that you won't get the ultimate victory. Rather, the leader of the opposition, Sisera, will be handed over to a woman, and she will take care of business. And so Barak and his army do a good job once they're there. God is confusing the opposing forces so that they are basically killing each other, and they're so confused that Barak's army can kill them as well. And Sisera flees in fear because he knows that everyone is about to be killed, including himself. And he runs away and he happens upon the tent of this lady named Jael, or Yael in Hebrew. And what does she do? She treats him like a little baby. She notices that he is feeling down, defeated, emasculated. And what does she do? She takes a blankie, a little blanket, and covers Sisera and gives him milk to soothe him. And when Sisera falls asleep, she takes care of business. She takes a tent peg, puts it to his temple, and drives it through his skull, through the other side, and into the ground. The word for plunge here with the tent peg is the same word of the plunge that of Ehud's sword into King Eglon. Again, centering in on the messiness of salvation and how messy that our ultimate salvation, not through these temporary saviors, these judges, but through Jesus Christ, our actual Savior. In Jesus, God was willing to spare nothing, to endure the worst agony, the worst type of death, so that we might have forgiveness of sins. and a place in God's family once and for all. As we'll see with the remaining judges throughout the rest of this book, the cycle will continue. The judge will be raised up. They'll take care of the opposition. Israel will be happy. They'll worship God, but then they'll become complacent and chase after idols again. They'll become oppressed, and they will groan out to God, and God will do the same thing by raising another judge for them, because God is committed to Israel through his covenant faithfulness. We've seen this all along the way in this Hebrew Bible. But it won't happen that this cycle is broken once and for all until the true judge, the true king and savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, comes on the scene for us to disrupt the cycle, to defeat it, to defeat the powers of sin and death and evil, so that we might have ultimate victory in him. So friends, this is really good news. I hope that you are seeing how God is painting this picture for our need of a true Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we might have life, have it to the full, and to collaborate with God to bring heaven to earth. Friends, keep up the good work in reading through this Bible in a Year program. It will truly help shape you. God will work in and through you thanks to your faithfulness in building this holy habit. And I hope that you're starting to see the fruit of that even now. Well, friends, I hope that you have a very great rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. But until then, God bless.